Now it's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader Matiria Ture.
Hi, are you there, Matiria?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good, good. Been a while since we've had a chat.
Yeah, I think so.
So the first thing that we're going to talk about today, the Green Party will fight Nationals' Nick Smith for the Nelson seat in this year's election.
Yes, that's right.
So this is the first time that the Green Party's tried to win a seat since it held the Coromandel electorate in 1999.
Yeah. Yeah,
Nick Smith has held this Nelson seat for over 20 years and in the last kind of election increased his majority to over 7,000. How realistic is it that the Greens will be able to win this seat?
Well, we might not be able to take it this time, but we're certainly in the running to take it in the future. I mean, we do very well in Nelson. And I think what is also important at this election is that Nick Smith is the architect of most of the main disasters that our country is facing at the moment. And this is a man who's had the housing portfolio for a long time now, for a number of years, and every step he makes, there's another disaster. He simply fails to deal with the seriousness of the housing crisis, and that's why it's getting worse. And he's also the guy who's responsible for cleaning up our rivers, and the number of polluted rivers in this country is growing. I mean, you know, he's been around for a while, but I think it's time for him to go. And we've got a great candidate there with Matt Lowry. He's a councillor, Nelson City councillor. So he himself has been elected by the Nelson people for a political position. So he's used to both the work, but they're also very used to him. And he's a great guy. He's a really good representative. And he'd be a great person for Nelson and for the caucus. So it's very exciting.
Are you concerned at all that this will split the vote with Labour?
No. No. So Labour knows about it and has known about it for a wee while. I'm pretty confident that the most important thing here is to really tackle Nick Smith on his home ground over his failures. The party vote is still the vote that gets us into Parliament. So everywhere else, people are campaigning for the party vote. But in Nelson, Nick Smith needs to understand that he has failed the country on two of the most biggest issues that we face, and the Green Party is going to put up a strong fight to take a seat from him.
And so the other topic we're going to talk about today, New Zealand First is calling for a binding referendum on the anti-smacking law 10 years after former Green MP Sue Bradford's bill was made into law. So a recent poll earlier this year found that 65% of respondents would smack their child to correct their behaviour regardless of the anti-smacking law. Does this not show the kind of lack of public support for the anti-smacking law?
No, not at all. And this is why I think New Zealand First is playing politics with children's lives, actually. We changed Section 59 of the Crimes Act, which allowed parents to get away with hitting their kids, leaving bruises and marks. People were getting away with it using sticks and vacuum cleaner hoses hoses like, you know, water hoses to beat their kids with. And Section 59 was allowing them to get away with it. So by changing the law, it's now unlawful to hit your children for the purposes of correction. And it means that if there is an assault by an adult on a child, where that adult is a parent, that adult can be held accountable for that assault. The police have not taken any cases against any person who has lightly smacked their child. So there is a discretion that the police have in most matters like this. And they're using that discretion. So there's been no cases where someone who's just, you know, hasn't left any marks, it's been a minor thing, hasn't been taken to court. But we still can't allow the law to say that a child can be beaten with a weapon, and that's lawful. And I think New Zealand First are just basically trying to get a kind of extreme older vote, and they've got to use children's lives and safety to do it.
I wanted to talk to you about that police discretion. So with the law that's currently in place, it says that the light smacking won't be prosecuted, but mm-hmm. that decision is largely left up to police and judges.
Yep.
Is it not the purpose of the law to make that more clear and not have to be left up to that discretion?
Well, there's always discretion in the law when it comes to things like this. You know, the police don't always charge every person for everything that is technically unlawful. And so it is them having the discretion in the law in this way is a very normal thing for them to have. It's also helpful because then it does mean that, you know, if people are lightly smacking their kids and they're not, you know, hurting them, they're not actually injuring them, well, then there is some capacity for the police to have discretion. And that's probably right. But it's also critical that the law does not allow a person to beat a child with a weapon. I mean, that's just, you know, and until the Green Party changed the law, it was legal to do that. And I can't think of a single person in the country who would say that that's okay. The thing is, you know, we've had review of Section 59. It was done by Nigel Latta. John Key set it up. And it was designed to look at whether or not the law was working properly, and the law was working fine. So there's absolutely no justification for changing it. It's working as it was intended. And again, I think it's just a political play by New Zealand First.
And it's my understanding that New Zealand First doesn't have a problem with the first section of that Section 59. It's the fact that nothing justifies the use of force for the purpose of correction, and that prevails over the subsection 1. So how is it determined between what is used for correction or good care and parenting as noted in subsection 1?
The police will have guidelines about that. You'd need to ask them how that works exactly. But this is what I mean. They have discretion in a lot of matters like this. They have discretion about whether they charge somebody for smoking a joint or not. They have discretion about, you know, a whole lot of things like that, where there is some flexibility in the law, or at least there's some flexibility in the way they apply it. And so far, we've found that the police are applying the law in a way that makes sense. It makes sense even for those of us who are fierce advocates for the rights of children. It makes sense for them not to be, you know, hauling parents off if they, you know, smack a child's hand, for example. Because the purpose of the change in law was to make sure that people didn't get away with beating their kids, because they were. So I think, and it's very difficult to describe that in the law. You know, say, you know, this kind of hitting is okay, but that kind of hitting is not. And we did explore all of that at the time. So what's happened is we've got the best form of law that we could, the whole parliamentary system could devise to make it as clear as possible for people about what it was that was considered serious and unlawful. And we've given the discretion to the police, who by and large, you know, have experience of doing this and doing it well. And the results are that no parent has been charged with lightly smacking their child. And so that means that the law, as far as I can tell, the law is working as it was designed to do, which means if a parent hits a child with a weapon, yeah, they should get charged and done. But if it's not that serious, if it's a light smack, well, then the police have got discretion to consider that. And there's really no way around that kind of construction of the law, I don't think.
And just lastly then, Tracy did bring up, I know when we're talking about the anti-smacking law, I often think of younger children and kind of that parenting, smack them mm-hmm. to keep them from doing something dangerous. But Tracy yep. did bring up a case of someone, and it was a 16-year-old, and the parents weren't going to let them go out at night, and they said that if they didn't and they held them back, then they could report them, and technically they could for physically holding them back.
Yeah,
where, they could. So parents are afraid of that. Where does the law account for that?
Well, look, I've raised 3 teenagers, and I can tell you I'm not. I'm not afraid of that. So yes, that is another case. So, it would be up to the police's discretion. You know, the child could ring the cops and say, you know, my parents are falsely imprisoning me in my bedroom because I'm now in timeout, which is also technically what timeout would be in the law as well. So, you know, that could happen. And again, the police will use their discretion as to whether or not that constitutes an offence serious enough to justify taking a charge. And I would imagine that most police in their right mind would not do that. But again, this is not, you know, these fears that some people have about what might happen, you know, have not come to pass, because they haven't happened. We don't have convictions for people who are lightly smacking their children or putting their kids into timeout or doing, you know, that kind of fairly normal and not particularly harmful child correction. So, you know, it's made up examples of possible things that could happen that haven't happened yet in 10 years of the law being in place. So I just can't see any justification for it. On the top of that, of course, you know, a referendum, you're talking about, what, $20 million on a referendum? Imagine what that $20 million could do if we're talking about taking care of kids. So it's just, I think it's, one, it's a waste of money, and two, it's just a political ploy.
All right, Mansidia, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
All good. See you then.
See ya.
That was Mansidia Ture for the Green Party. The Wire.